Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to your Friday episode of Private Parts. Now, it's the last episode of the year. Amazing one. We have Katie Price, who's back again because she was just so hilarious last time. But it's the last episode, guest-wise, of the year. And before we begin the episode, I want to say a big thank you to everyone. I know everyone has so many plans all the time, and you're probably busy, and you have other podcasts you could listen to and do other things. But I just want to say a huge thank you from me and the team for just constantly tuning into this podcast and enjoying it and staying with us and loving the guests and to all the guests who have come on. So I just want to say huge thank you to every single person who put your time in your day to listen to me waffle on, which has been amazing. I also want to say Merry Christmas to everybody because Christmas is right around the corner. So whatever you're doing, I hope you have the most amazing, wonderful time. Today's guest, as always, and a lovely Christmassy one, is Katie Price. She needs no introduction. She's been on the podcast before. It was insane. She's back on again. So without further ado, have a Merry Christmas and please enjoy the episode with Katie Price. She's back. She's back. She's back. Can I tell you, the last podcast we did together, it blew up.
Did it really?
It went wild.
Because everyone, even now, because I do my TikTok lives, they're like, oh my God, your podcast with Jamie Lang was brilliant. Like,
so many people listened to it. And like you went viral on TikTok.
Did it?
It got like, how many? It got like 3-4 million views or something.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's not just me. It's you as well.
No, it's not me.
Team effort.
We're a team.
Team effort.
I feel like it's a team effort because it's like an unexpected team.
Yes. Mm. It's like chalk and cheese.
Well, maybe a little bit of chalk and cheese. And also, you've got your sister here today.
I can see she's got the mic
on. I'm eyeballing you.
How many times has she told me off since I've been sitting in this chair?
A few times. She told you that
not
you...
Not to vape.
Not to vape.
Yeah. Because I've said on my podcast, I am going to stop. I said I am going to stop, which means I haven't yet.
Well, when's the date? When are you stopping?
Well, today, because this one's running out.
Okay.
So we've got to ask, what is it like being Katie's sister?
I don't really think about it anymore, to be honest. Honestly, it's stressful, get a bit of anxiety. But I don't really think about it anymore.
Okay, but me as a person, as your sister, I'm fine. It's what comes with me.
Mm. Yeah,
that's what you need to explain.
Be honest. Be as honest as you.
As a person?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All over the place. Chaotic. Vulnerable.
So vulnerable. And so sensitive.
Insecure.
Oh my God.
Kind.
Very kind.
But yeah, I'd say vulnerable for me is a key one. That's why I feel like I've always got to
get my back.
Yeah. Support and help and all the rest of it.
Katie, do you think you're vulnerable?
Very.
Why do you think you're vulnerable?
But I think it's a nice trait to have.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not arrogant.
No.
And I think you would expect me to be arrogant. Because I celebrate 30 years the next year in the industry. And by the way, I'm going to do a massive party. Because I started in the 90s, I will explain why I'm vulnerable. You know what I do. I go off on these tangents. You didn't even ask me that.
But yeah, but can I just say quickly, do you know the greatest thing? I say this every single time. So people who watch or listen to the podcast, they were like, what is your... And I said, you're honestly the best storyteller. Because what I ask you a question or say something, and you do this amazing thing where you sort of look up into your library of stories. And you go... And you go, okay, that one, you pick it out from your mind and then you start telling it. It's so good.
That's what I'm doing now. I am going to answer the vulnerable bit.
It's good, yeah.
But 30 years in the industry next year, you know and I know it's a tough industry and I'm still here. Because I started in the 90s, I want to do a proper big carpet event, invite celebs, whatever ones want to turn up because they might go, oh, I'm not going to her event. But do it 90s theme. Because I always think if you do like fancy dress or have to dress, you know, like Jonathan Ross does.
Yeah.
Not that I'm Jonathan Ross, but I've been to his before. And people really go to town when it's fancy dress. But I want to do it 90s and have all my memorabilia up, all old costumes and things like that. And really celebrate having 30 years in the industry. And I think I bloody deserve it.
You have 30 years in the industry, but I feel like you sometimes still have this imposter syndrome.
Yeah, so this vulnerability, you would think being in the industry 30 years, I've been there, done it, and you'd think I'd have the attitude of being arrogant, not giving people the time of day, but I'm the opposite. I still have that drive, that eagerness, and still want to work. I just love it. I'm hungry still. That hasn't worn out, which is quite rare, I think, in this industry.
Why do you think you have imposter syndrome, though? Because you just said, when I said that, you were like, well, I'm not Jonathan Ross. Or I'm not. I mean, I imagine so many people would want to go to your party.
Oh, I would put on a good party.
You would do?
Oh, but I do. When I've had house parties and stuff like that, fancy dress, you've got to either do it all or nothing. You know, get the caterers like DJs and all. You've got to do it properly, haven't you, if you're going to do it. But I just love it. I love people, love being around people, just having fun. Life, people take life too seriously. People are so, oh, I've got to do this right, that right. And some people say you've played the game well, but the truth is, I haven't played a game. It's literally just what I do. I'm not manufactured. I said this before. I don't know what it is with me, but I'm a nightmare in a good little way.
Yeah,
she's a beautiful chaos.
That's exactly it.
Oh, I love that word.
I thought you'd like that.
Do you know what? My next book should be called Beautiful Chaos.
What number book would that be?
Love that.
Again.
That would be the 55th. 55? 55th. Is that such a word? 55th.
55.
55, yeah.
Okay, I also want to know this. You know, I'm a Celebrity is on at the moment, and you were on I'm a Celebrity.
Twice.
You're on it twice?
Yes.
What?
I'm the only one who's done it twice in the Australian jungle.
You did the Australian one as well?
Twice.
But hang on, you did the Australian one twice?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
I did. So the first one was when I met Pete.
Yeah.
And then the second one, oh my God, I ended up walking because every single day the public were getting me to do the challenges every day. And because I swore on my kids' life, I said, if the public vote me on this day, I'm walking. And because I said that, I couldn't go back on it. And I tell you now, my mum was on the phone, the producers were on the phone in that wood bit, wherever you go,
Yeah. Telling
me to stay. And they were sort of hinting that I was doing well and that I possibly could win. They didn't say it in them words, but that was the vibes. But because I swore my kids' lives, I thought I can't because I'd feel dreadful. And then I ended up looking at what the challenge was and it was an easy one. I could have easily done it. But when you're doing the challenges every day, you automatically think you're being hated. But now, because that was years ago, I think that was about 10 years ago, that was the last one I did. Bloody hell, is it?
Was it 10 years ago?
Was it 10 years ago?
Which is the one when you met? When was when you met Pete?
I don't know.
That must have been nearly 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years.
Oh my God, it sounds so old. 20 years ago. But that's good credit for the show that it's still going.
But you didn't hook up in the jungle, did you? There was no
not
like,
the second time, no.
But not the first time. There's no like kissing or anything like that in the jungle.
No.
There's nothing.
I didn't do anything, no.
Really?
No, nothing. And I wouldn't, not on telly.
Not even a kiss?
No.
Really?
Nothing.
I seem to remember you guys, but did you kind of fall in love there or no?
It was weird. It's such a combined, it's such an unusual situation to be in. And like everything is heightened And you just end up, the way I say it, you end up becoming like gorillas in there. The reason I say that, because you start mimicking each other. You start hearing the insects and thinking, right, we know it's nighttime. You get so in tune with what's around you. It's really weird. And I remember when I came out, it was weird to see people and cars back to normality because you're just so confined into this jungle space and rice and beans. Like, it was just, it's a weird
It's like
situation.
This like situation that you're in. So you're kind of like in this community, this small little community,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I say anyone who ever gets offered the chance to do that show, that is the one to do because it's so unique. And all you can do is sit there and think about things and about your life. My mind didn't really do that for me, did it? You know. But no, it's a really good experience. You really do starve. You really are hungry. And the challenges really are tough, as I know, because I had to do them every day again the second time.
You've been in the industry 30 years, right? So that's like a lot of different decades. What do you think? The 90s different to now?
Well, this is interesting because when I'm on TikTok a lot now, obviously a lot of youngsters are on it.
Yeah.
And then some people are like, God, you look like Katy Price. Or some people go, is that Jordan? There's a lot of people who have no idea about what I've done in the past. So now I say to people, look, if you want to know what I did before, just Google Jordan or Katy Price or Jordan the model, and then you'll see. And I said, you'll be surprised what I've actually done in my life. Because I think people just think I'm this old 45-year-old woman who's had plastic surgery sitting there trying to sell like a little
QVC,
QVC astronaut thing that glows on the wall. Like, then, and then some people are like, what's your life resorted to? And I'm like, well, you're clearly loving it because you're watching it. Do you want to buy what I'm selling? Like, do you know what I mean? TikTok's the way forward. Like, I'm moving with times. Like, yeah. If I could revert back to times, you know, you get all influencers and they call themselves. I bet you none of them would survive the hard work that I had to do. Because what you've got to remember, it was all magazines, newspapers, photo shoots, completely different. You didn't have the social media platform. So anyone now, I believe anyone, can make a name of themselves that quick overnight on TikTok and all these platforms.
But I don't think that doesn't create longevity, which you've had, right?
This is what I mean. People have to remember it isn't long. There'll be something else apart from TikTok soon, then TikTok will go. I think Instagram's sort of dying out now, I think. TikTok's the way forward. So when people are like, oh, you've resorted to TikTok, I'm like, are you joking? So many people make so much money on TikTok and it is like a QVC. QVC was massive back in the day. And I love it. I'm at home working and people, and I say to people, I'm at home working. How lucky am I? And I'm getting to choose what I want to like offer you guys to buy and I'll get it discounted price. So what? I do that, do my podcast, doing my Channel 4 show, doing my masterclasses. Yeah. And then we've got our podcast show coming up. I'm literally so busy and I love it because I'm picking and choosing what I want to do.
And you've got your panto.
Bloody panto.
Two pantos.
You have two pantos.
Yeah, well, two pantos.
An adult version.
The adult, which me and Mum cannot wait to go everyone and see.
Can you just explain quickly? It's Christmas time, right? That's where you got a hat on things like that. You're doing an adult, but it's over 18s.
So the one in December, which I'm going to in a few days, have I learned the script? No, because Sophie gave it to me a week late because it got sent to her.
I didn't give it to you a week late.
You did.
No, they sent it to you and me exactly at the same time. But I reckon Bunny's picked yours up.
Yeah, because Bunny's always going out.
Who's Bunny?
My daughter.
Oh, okay.
Because she's on this site called Team You. And she's got my card. And she's so clever. And I see packages come all the time. She's just ordering stuff off it all the time. So if I have got something, before I know it, she's opened it. So Christmas presents I can't order because she'll open it before I've even opened it and wrapped it. She's such a nightmare. But anyway.
Wait, so hang on, what is the name of the adult panto you're doing?
Right. Big Dick Whittington and his pussy. And I am playing Queen Rat.
What happens in it?
I haven't got the script for that one. That's the end of January for a week only.
Yeah, but what happens if it's got nudity and things like that in it?
I actually don't know. It's obviously going to be right near the point or to the point or on the point.
But sex?
Oh, no. Not you,
but I'm saying, is there going to be people having sex in the show?
I doubt it would be that, will it? I'm looking at Soph. Soph wouldn't have me on the show like that.
It's 18 and over, though. So what is that?
I think it'd just, like, adult humour.
Ah, okay. I just suddenly was like,
be like, I thought she's people getting her kit off.
And, no, I didn't think you were kidding. I thought that other people in the show were potentially going
to
be
I
getting.
I have actually no idea. I've never been to an adult version of Panto, but I suppose it would be more the in. Mind you, this family one that I'm doing, you always have an innuendo anyway. Yeah. What adults would know was rude, but the kids wouldn't. Does that?
Yeah,
make
that
sense?
Makes sense. Wait, but so going back to, because I love going back in the archives and thinking about it. So because you became big as we know, we spoke on the last podcast, became big in the 90s and you were everywhere. You were on posters. You were on, I told you, when I was at boarding school, you were on my wall.
Oh, bloody hell. You were. What magazines did you get? Because
FHM.
Loaded. I've got all the medals. Loaded. Where did I say medals? All the things at home where I've won. Decade Girl of the Loaded Year. Twice. FHM 100 sexiest. I was always in that.
Weren't you number one sexiest person?
I was in top 10. I can't remember what number. I never made it to number one. It was normally like Kelly Brook or Halle Berry.
Was that who it was?
Normally them lot. But I reckon it was all fixed.
I
should have been number one.
You should. But it was, but also it was one of these things where the press was so different then, right? And how hectic was it for you? So if you could probably answer this one, how hectic was the press at the time? Like back then when it was, the only way people could see you, there was no social media, there was no TikTok, there was none of that. So it was basically magazines. That's how people saw you. Or they would have to take photos of you and put it in newspapers.
Exactly.
So how would photographers and people turn up at your house?
It was because I was out and about all the time. It's so different then. And I don't think, mind you, the stories. No, I think today people are so desperate for stories that I think they've upped the game of them being nasty stories, not just on me, on everyone. That you never really read good news. It's always doom, gloom, or let's have a go at that person or this person. Let's get intrusion on their relationship or this. Whereas back in the day, it wasn't really like that. I think because everything is on social media now, that the papers are, you know, they're desperate to keep catch people's eyes. So they make it more like, you know.
They sort of amp it up a little bit
more. Yeah, that's what I think happens. I don't think they got any respect for me these days.
Does that upset you?
A lot. And I think it's cruel. Like I did this event the other week and these two gay guys, and they've got like a lot of shops. So I opened one of their shops for them.
Mm.
And then the son had me picture of one because he sort of had his arm around me in one of the pictures and said, oh, with her new mystery man. I'm like, what do you mean new mystery man? So I put up to the son and I put the journalist's name. I think his name was Oliver. I can't remember his surname. I said, this is such bad journalism. I said, number one, why would you ruin a good night? It's a gay couple. Put their names. I said, it's an opening of their shop. There's no mystery man. Why are you trying to like create stories that aren't true, basically? Because it really does annoy me.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This Does it upset you, the stories that are not true, or people just being mean and commenting mean things?
I don't really read the comments.
Can I just say one thing? What I find interesting about journalists and the articles, say if Kate would call them out on Instagram, we're then getting an email from the journalists asking for the call out to be taken down off stories.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's all right for them to write the story in the first place, but then if I out them back,
we get an email saying, "Can you please take that down? It's not very nice." La la la.
So they lie, they make something up, and then they ask you to take down you countering it.
Yeah.
And do you take it down? No.
Well, Soph does my Instagram.
Sometimes. So it depends what it is.
Why?
But because, like, for instance, that last one we didn't.
Well, no, because it's cold, like blatantly untrue.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're nervous of then the reaction the press will do if you don't take it down.
Oh, no, I don't care about that. They've done enough damage. For that. It's just, if you're going to write something, the thing is, I've come a long way from getting out of a bad situation from the breakdown. Like, I've really done well, got myself back on my feet, working. I'm just hungry for it again. And instead of them bringing that up with me, they still want to try and put me down, which I'd never get back there. But it's hard. It's like I'm trying to swim up to get air, and every time I'm near there, they're like, bop, bringing me back down. But inside, I know I'm doing well with what I'm doing, everything, you know, work-wise. I'm in a completely, I feel like I've gone back to where I was in my 20s with that fresh mind, eager for it all again. And it's so refreshing, and everyone can see it. They're like, this is the Kate we like.
Mm.
You got that driving force behind you. And it's weird. I don't normally manifest on anything, but being like that, things are just, doors are open. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so much better. I'm really enjoying this. But this time I'm in control. I don't have a manager to tell me what I can and can't do. I've learned, and now it's like, I'm starting it again. So who knows, another 20 years, we could be sitting here again.
When you went through your breakdown, and you know, we sort of mentioned it before, what was leading up towards that?
It just got, and then when you're cheated on so bad with the best friends, this and that, the betrayal, it just got so much. And at the same time, the media bashing me, I was literally, wherever I turned, there's like, it was noise, darkness. And then you get to a situation where you don't want to talk to anyone. You hide yourself away. And where you're not communicating with people or bills or anything like that, it escalates and escalates and escalates. And then you're in this hole, like, oh my God, I just can't do any of it. So that's why I ended up in the Priory, to like, they make you realise whatever problem or anything that you think it is, there's always a solution. You have to prioritise what comes first. And they just help you sort of deal with it in your mind, because it was ruminating. Everything was ruminating in my mind. If people don't know what I mean by ruminating, you go to bed like thinking about, oh my God, what's going to happen? You'd think of the bad, and nothing's even happened yet. You'd think, oh my God, this, what if this happens and that happened? But it hasn't happened. But you start thinking the worst, the worst, the worst, to the point you just don't want to be there anymore.
Did you decide to go to the Priory, or Sophie, did you?
I think it's a mixture of both. Yeah. We sort of,
basically, I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to kill myself and I didn't want to be here. No, but I did, and I tried, and I even survived that. So it's like, fucking hell, maybe I'm not meant to go there.
Yeah, it was, wasn't a...
It was really bad. It was bad, awful.
Can I just say, so you'll know this as well. She always does this thing. When you talk about something, you did this in life, when you go into your serious mode and you talk about something, you offset it by still trying to make light of it, because it's almost like you don't want to
do that.
You don't want to face it.
But I did face it in the Priory. It was horrific. They had me like, they have the rooms, even the plugs in the Priory, they got no chains or anything on them. The curtains are on Velcro. There's just no way you can even damage yourself. You're not allowed razors. You're not allowed nothing. I was on watch at first, like every 15-minute watch.
Okay, I am so sorry.
Oh, no, I've gone through that now. It was bad at the time. Like, I will look back so people can think that I was in a shit place. And while I was in there, the media was still writing stories in there. It's like I could not get away. So then I wasn't allowed on my phone. But I was in there 5 or 6 weeks, and it was the best thing I ever did.
Really?
Because you're mixed with other people in there and all different walks of life, and you hear their stories. And sometimes I would sit there and go, oh my God, you're only in here for that? Is that all you're in here for? I wish I was only in here for that. But what could be small or big to me isn't to someone else. And it's hearing other people. And then when you do your sessions, because you do group sessions and single sessions, I suppose they retrain your brain, is how I'd say it, to make you realise things aren't as bad as you think. But when you're in that situation, you just believe everything is bad, 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 bad. You think everyone's going to have a go at you. And where the family were like, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you picking your phone up? I'd even moan at that. What's wrong with you? What do you mean? You're on my case. But now I can reflect back and think it's because they were worried, they cared. But at the time I was like, look, even you're on my case. And it's because they're helping. And I think thankfully, because I've got such a good family, they were there for me. And there are people out there who haven't got that support around them or family. And you can see why it can end in misery and they've got no guidance. Because I have got a good family, they helped me through it.
You said that you sort of tried to take your own life. Did you?
Yeah, I tried to hang myself and I was in the toilet and I remember waking up, my mobile phone was down the toilet and I had black eye. I was just, and I had bruises here and I was like, fucking hell, this is bad. And I survived it and I'm like, oh my God. And that's a wake up call because I look at my kids' faces. I would never do it again because when you're in that dark moment, you don't think about anything. Now I'm not in that moment. How could I ever do that to my kids? Like, how could you ever do that? Like, now I think, oh my God, imagine my kids, how they would feel like not having their mum. Imagine Harvey, someone explain it to them or the kids, you know. I would never, ever, ever let myself do it. And I always say to people, if you're low, the best thing to do is communicate, tell someone. You're not going to bore your friends. You know, if they're true friends, they will listen to you. Because I ended up sounding like, I'll try and deal with it myself. No, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And I'd be short with people, but trying to put on a brave face. I remember when I did Loose Swimming, they never realised I was really suffering then. And it's weird, because I doubt they'd have me on the show now and I'm absolutely fine. But back then, I was going through a breakdown. Do you remember that, Soph? And they never even knew.
I know.
Like, Sophie, oh, you're not crying. Oh, for fuck's sake, mate.
So can I just, because that must, that...
Her and my mum, I cry for anything. Yeah, but... Look at them.
But I think...
Pathetic!
But no, it's not pathetic. It's because... But I think it's because... I think it's because... I'm with you, because I think it's because it's just like...
I love you, Soph.
Yeah, and also...
I love it. I know, but they do. They love me. And I know they cry about it, and I sit here. But I must have put them through hell, and I didn't mean to put them through hell.
I also don't... I also, sometimes it makes me think that you don't think... Because the amount of stuff you've been through in your life, that you sometimes feel perhaps, and maybe I'm just putting, I don't put words in your mouth, that feel like people really don't care for you. And actually, so many people care so much about, and so many people rely on you as a mum or as a friend or in business or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that sort of way that you sort of say, oh God, I got to this lowest point where you wanted to do something like that, it's so upsetting to hear that perhaps the people who love you weren't there for you enough. And that's probably what's so upsetting, right?
But I know they were, but what you got...
No, of course they were there, but you felt like
they were against me, like having a go at me. What you doing when really they're checking up? But it come to the point, which is why now I pick and choose what I want to do, because I ended up feeling I'm just a product to people, which when you look back, I am. I am, and I still am a product to some people. That's why I pick and choose what I want to do now. Instead of being here, there, and everywhere, people have got to remember, I am a human. I have feelings. I'm not a product. They would just like, yeah, we'll just book Kate for this, because I'm a product. Whereas for the family, I'm not. I'm either their sister, the mum, the aunt, or the friend. Do you know what I mean? So that's why now I enjoy everything I do. I only do what I want to do because I'm not going to make myself ill again. That's why I enjoy everything I do. They didn't have podcasts back then, and I love the podcast. I love talking to other people.
And you're the best communicator as well. That's you're a storyteller as well.
Well, hopefully I can help other people. You know, I'm not here to be all doom and gloom, but I really have been through it.
Yeah.
The media is one of the worst industries you can be in. It's so cutthroat, backstabbing. It's really, really tough world. And I was on my own. I wasn't in a group. I was on my own doing it. If I didn't turn up, no one else would. It's not like if you're in a girl band or boy band, you've got each other. I was on my own. And you'd have to rely on managers or this, who really, the managers, they only look at you for their 20%.
Can I just ask, I don't want to go more into, because I understand that it's probably tough for you guys, but
you can ask me what you like.
When you get to that moment, right, and you feel like there's no way out, and you then start thinking about taking your own life, and then, you know, thank God nothing happened. And
oh, I'm so happy.
And you're okay. But then how do you, for anyone who is struggling, I suppose, how do you communicate that to your family, your friends, and reaching out and asking for help? How did you phone?
I just think she had a massive breakdown. And then we got a call. Then we all went round.
Yeah. And then
I remember calling 999, getting them to come round and talk to you.
I can't even remember all them. It's just a blur. But the thankfully, you know, the doctors and all that explained to mum. And then I remember I was in the Priory and we all had like
we used to do like a weekly, like it was it during the pandemic?
No, before then. I've been in there twice and
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I remember we used to do like a
But this was call, the stress level one, because they are going to bring this up, so.
What's this? Yeah, yes, you, yes, go
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I'm going to.
This is the peak of my stress during that period.
Right, I'm just going to say, when you're in the Priory, you get all these worksheets and stuff. So we was on the family like call, and I said, right, this is what I've been doing today, stress. So I was marking them all down, and then at the end, you add it all up to see which category you're in. And Soph was in the highest and I wasn't. I said, see, Soph, you could benefit being in here with your stress levels.
No, it's because I was busy trying to make sure you were okay.
Stressed.
I remember following you in the car, behind your car, thinking to myself, I am going to make sure she goes to the Priory. I am going to make sure she checks in. I am going to sit there and talk to her doctor and say, what the fuck are you doing? Because you need to help her. And yeah.
It's tough. I get horrible. It's horrible.
But anyone out there, all I say is communicate. Never feel ashamed, because you get to that point, you feel ashamed, you're embarrassed because you want to feel like you're indestructible.
What's funny though? Sometimes even now, if I've had a funny few days and you're with mum, and I'll call mum and be like, oh, I've got this going on, And she's like, are you okay, Soph? And I'm like, no.
And then she'll cry.
And you're in the car with mum and you're like, what's wrong, Soph? Just talk to us, come on. And I'm like, I'm pissed off over something really
small.
And
I'm like, you'll be fine. And then it's like, So I think in a way it's what I've learned, I now ricochet on everyone else. Yeah. And it's like, it's got a happy ending, thank God. It's that, don't worry, there's still stresses in my life. I have major stresses going on, quite serious ones. But I can cope with it because you communicate and... You know, I don't do this stuff on Instagram anymore, where Sophie would know if I put like these things
up. If she puts a quote up.
Well, I don't do my Instagram now, Sophie.
If she used to put a quote up about something, automatically I'd feel sick and think, oh, fucking hell, what's happened now? And then
because it would trigger almost you. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
That's what it would be.
Yeah. I didn't think of it like that.
Yeah, it's a trigger.
You trigger me.
At least you know what a trigger is now.
I didn't think about that, because every time when you used to do that, I used to think, oh, fuck, is she okay? What's wrong now? And then we all used to start calling each other. And it's like, have you heard from Kate? What's wrong?
And now you don't have that worry as much.
Because I've learned I don't need to do that. And then by doing that, then the press pick up on it. Then it's a story. Then it goes on. So now I've just learned, you know, I've got rid of so many people out my life who don't need to be there. Because you have to remember, why is that person friends with me really? What are they benefiting and what do I benefit out of them? You have to really look at people around you. And it's true, like, I've assessed everything around me. I don't retaliate anymore. What is the point? I just do what I need to do.
More. I do think, though, where you are enjoying your work at the minute, I said this to you last week, I think your work is almost like a, not therapy, but it gives you structure and routine, which
I love that, yeah.
Okay, everybody, that is the end of part one. As always, just click over to part two and you can listen to the rest of the episode with Katie Price.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.